grab my Bible. And I'd like to talk with you this morning about God wants to use your lunch. The book of John, in the Gospel of John, boys and girls, in the New Testament, he tells a story about a boy whose lunch became a miracle. Now, who would have thought that a ham and cheese sandwich could be so powerful? Well, I don't think it was a ham and cheese back then. Most probably more like fish sticks and tuna. And actually, I don't know, he was Jewish, so no ham, no cheese. They probably did, I don't know, fig jam and almond butter. But that's what they took to school back then. The Bible doesn't really tell us if this little boy was on his way to school or not. But we know that he decided to follow Jesus that day. In the book of John, chapter 6, we see that Jesus had been preaching and teaching in the area for many, many days. And verse 2 tells us, I need these now. Verse 2 tells us that a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miracles as he healed the sick. Then Jesus went up into the hills and sat down with his disciples around them. Jesus soon saw a great crowd of people climbing the hill looking for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "It would take a small fortune to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus ordered. So all of them, the men alone numbered 5,000, sat down on the grassy slopes. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and passed them out to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate until they were full. "Now gather the leftovers," Jesus told his disciples, "so that nothing is wasted." There were only 5 barley loaves to start with, but 12 baskets were filled with the pieces of bread the people did not eat. And when the people saw this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." I love this story because this little boy got up that day, got dressed, grabbed his lunch, and headed out the door like he did every other day. He had no idea what a special day this was going to be and how important his lunch was, and that God was going to use him. And I love this kid. He might have been young, but he was already mature for his age. It seems that he valued people over his own comfort, because when Andrew asked Jesus if he could have his lunch, he gave it. He was willing to share. He wasn't afraid or hesitant to let God have it and use it. This story teaches us some very important truths. This little boy understood that what you have is from God. Do you know that everything you have, big or small, is from God? Every talent, every gift, every blessing, it's not yours. It's from God, and it's God's. You guys are so great. You even clap for the announcements. But all of our abilities, and even our non-abilities, the things that you have and the things that you don't have and the things that you wish you had, they are all from him. We were created on purpose for a purpose. Nothing about us is by accident. What we have, what we don't have, and where God has placed us is God designed and God ordained. God made your lunch. And that's why this little boy was completely content that day. His mommy loved him. She packed his lunch, patted him on the back, and sent him on his way. He was good to go. It didn't matter at all that he just had a measly little 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He had a lunch, and that was all he needed. But the truth was, his lunch was little. They weren't the finest French baguettes or ciabatta buns. They were little, flat barley cakes or biscuits that his mom had baked on a gridiron over hot stones. And barley was considered the food of the very poor. It didn't have the substance or the flavor of wheat, which was actually much more common, but too expensive for his daily lunch. And he didn't bring leftover grilled salmon with dill sauce either. It was more like dried or pickled fish, like sardines. But look at the disciples' reaction to him. They saw things a little differently. The book of Matthew tells the same story with a little more insight into how the disciples perceived him in the situation. Their response to Jesus' desire to use the little boy's lunch was, "That's impossible. We have only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Clearly, in their opinion, what he had was not enough, and not enough for Jesus' purposes. This was a crowd of 5,000 plus. Matthew's gospel tells us the count only included the men, not the women and children who were also there. And isn't that like the perception of the world and the culture that we live in? We live in a culture that spends its time and focuses on what we don't have and what we lack. We never have enough, and what we have is never good enough, and it's certainly not good enough for God. Do you know that the devil has been telling mankind the same thing from the very beginning? It's the original lie. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave them everything they needed to succeed. Genesis 1:26 says that God placed them as masters over all of life. He gave them lordship over the fish, the birds, and all the animals. He provided seed-bearing plants throughout the entire earth and all kinds of fruit trees for food. And then he gave grasses and other green plants for all the animals to eat. Finally, he set a river to water the garden. They had everything they needed to thrive. But along came the serpent, and he immediately focuses on what they didn't have. "What? You can't eat of that tree? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. You don't have that?" And when God came home that night, he had a question of his own. "Who told you that you were naked, that you were lacking? Who told you you didn't have clothes or enough knowledge and understanding? I have given you everything you need." Do you know that the enemy is still trying to convince us that we are not enough and we do not have enough? You know, in the world's eyes, what we have to offer may seem insignificant. Our values, our goals, and our choices are less. And this can leave us feeling inadequate and even doubting ourselves sometimes. Our culture not only dictates what we should have to be successful, but they also tell us how much of it we should have. You know, our elementary school experience in this community was a real eye-opener, to say the least. It was full of social expectations and pressures that we really weren't expecting. In kindergarten, we discovered that not only do some people live in big houses, but they also have big clipboards of activities for their families, both academically and recreationally. So at age 5, they do ballet, they go to chess club, they play soccer on Saturday, flag football on Sunday, try tennis, and they sign up for as many after-school programs for further enrichment. And one little friend that Ben played soccer with in elementary school was one such kid. He was involved with football, soccer, swim team, and then he did his homework when he got home. And each year of grade school, he would add a new activity. So he'd end up going to bed around 11 o'clock each night. And by grade 5, he came down with pneumonia. And I'm not sure his parents ever really made the connection that he needed to rest. The world we raise our families in pressures us to use their measuring stick to gauge what's valuable and important for ourselves and our children. They try to convince us that what we have isn't enough. We need more. We need to be doing more for our kids to be well-rounded and successful. But here's what you need to consider when you choose activities for your family. If you want your kids to be followers of Jesus when they grow up and be used by God, then Jesus must be a priority now in your family. God uses a different measuring stick for success. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't participate in extracurricular activities. If they've got talent and they enjoy it, absolutely. But they should understand that their value and the ordering principle of their lives is not football, track, or music, but Jesus. Because what you have and what you are is from God, and it belongs to God. You know what? God has uniquely gifted, designed, and positioned you. The truth is, we all belong to God. We are all part of a bigger family, His family. And God's family is the greatest family on earth. And because we belong to Him, we have all that we need to be successful. And just like this little boy, you are just what he needs. So when Andrew, the disciple, reached for the little boy's lunch, he didn't shy away. He didn't say, "Oh no, you can't have this. I don't have enough. It's just loaves and sardines." He was content. He was content with who he was and what he had, and he was willing to share. He was willing to let God use whatever was in his hand. God could have his lunch. He could take it. It was his to begin with. Now, some of you may know that Pastor Glenn is a generous guy, and that's one of the reasons that I love him so. He's a giver, and actually, as I grow in the Lord, I just continue to understand the significance of having a generous spirit. But there is something you may not know about him. And that is, he doesn't always like to share. You know, I have the mic. It's my turn today. He gets up every Sunday, right, and tells his stories. I can't say anything. And the issue comes up particularly, it's most difficult for him when it comes to food. Now, I am a sharer, and I especially like to share food. I like to try new things, and I like everybody to share what I've tried. So going to school for him was good, because you're not allowed to share food in school, even if you like somebody else's lunch better. Of course, you know, who didn't trade, right? Now, this little boy could have said the same thing. He could have said, "I'm not sharing." And if he's anything like my son, he was starving by the time he got to lunch. And whether you read this story in Matthew or the book of John, it's clear that this little boy had to give up his lunch so that others could eat. This little boy shows us that what God has given you isn't just for you. God wants us to share what he has given us with others and with the entire world. His lunch was not just his lunch. God wanted to share it with the crowd. He wanted to share it with everyone who was hungry. I love this story because it shows us that God cares about our most basic needs. The people were hungry and they needed to eat. It had been a long seminar. Now, everyone knows Maslow's hierarchy of needs. The most basic needs of food, water, and shelter will affect your cognitive and emotional ability if they're not met. In other words, if you are hungry, you can't think straight or concentrate, and you certainly won't behave. And we all know this to be true. Any thoughts or instructions I have for my kids when they first come home from school are not heard until they have a snack first. And the same is true for us when it comes to knowing Jesus. The most basic need for all mankind is a right relationship with God. If you don't have that, you don't think straight or behave properly. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry again. We have the best lunch in the world. It satisfies all our longings and needs, and it helps us think straight and behave properly. And God wants us to share our lunch with our neighbor. They're hungry. They're starving. We need to share what we have. And God wants us to share what we have with his family inside the church and out. We need to take care of God's family right here and out there. Now, most of you know that Pastor Glenn grew up in a single-family home. At the age of 16, his dad officially walked out, even though he had checked out a couple of years before. And even though his father wasn't always around to help him and give advice and making decisions in his life, first car and career choices, Pastor Glenn can list for you the men who were influential in his life and helped shape and guide him while he was growing up in the church, in God's family. Now, that doesn't mean they took him camping every weekend, but along the way, just when he needed them, God sent them to give help and advice, and they were a godly example of a man. And even I am grateful for the family of God. I grew up in the church, and thank God I had a healthy home. But my family is far away in Canada. They are 8 hours away. And when our twins were born, it was very hard for them to come down every weekend or to pick up kids from school. And I am so grateful for the friendships and the teachers that have invested in my kids' lives right here. I'm so thankful for the Auntie Terry's and the TT Edna's and Miss Jasmine and Miss Charlene and Mr. Ted, who took the time to teach my kids the truth. And even though I have a great hubby and he's a good dad and he is there when we need him, he's a busy dad. And so I'm thankful for the Uncle Brian's and the Uncle Sal's and the teachers that have invested in my kids and in my son to show him and to reinforce what we're teaching him at home. So you don't have to have a family to be a part of God's family. God's family is your family. And God has given each of us gifts, and he's entrusted us with resources of time, possessions, and influence that he wants to use to make a lasting difference in someone else's life. God wants us to invest in others and in eternity. So the people and the families around us, that's our mission field. God wants us to share our lunch with them and each other. But here's the best part of the story. Jesus shows us that what we have is more than enough. When we surrender what we have to God, it's more than enough. This is my favorite part of the story. The little boy started with 5 loaves and 2 fish sticks that day, but he ended up with way more than he could ever have imagined. That's awesome, right? That's good news for us. When we give what we have to God, we end up with way more than what we started. You know what? That's how God is. That's his way. That's one of his ways. We pray, Lord, teach me your ways. This is one of his ways. The parable of the talents illustrates the same principle. The one talent man had all kinds of excuses why he couldn't serve, why he couldn't work. And Jesus says, if you don't use it, you lose it. You hide it, it's gone. But if you use it, you get more. It grows. This is the ways of God. And we look at some people and we think, oh, they have so many talents. Did you know how you get on that bus? You just start using what you've got. Do you remember, amen, do you remember Pastor Willie Alfonso? He was here with us on Father's Day. He is the chaplain to the New York Yankees. But he didn't start that way. He grew up in the hood. He said his father beat him and his brothers and his mother. At the age of 11, he started drugs, and he just checked out of life. And finally, he meets the Lord later on in his life, but at this point, he's got to start rebuilding, and he realizes that he doesn't know how to read because he had quit school a long time ago. But he offers to the Lord what he has, even if others might have thought it was little. And he starts helping a boys' basketball program in the city. And God blesses him for taking care of those little boys. And then one day, God lets him take care of the big boys in the big league. And God's not just talking to us about sharing our money. He's talking about God-given abilities and talents and time. Can you pray? Do you have the ability to teach? And I'm not just talking about kids. Can you care for people? Can you give up your Saturday morning to help someone out? We have to be willing to surrender what we have. All our resources are from Him. Nothing is off limits. And it's not really about what we have anyway. It's all about who God is. Matthew says Jesus took his lunch, he looked up to heaven, he blessed it, and then he passed it out. And that's when the miracle happened. When you are willing to give what you have to God, he will bless it, he will use it, he will multiply it, and your gift will feed many. Amen. Verse 12 says, and they all ate until they were full. Now gather the leftovers, Jesus told his disciples, so that nothing is wasted. That means they could eat again. You know, the enemy's strategy is to intimidate us and to keep us from sharing our lunch. We let people and our culture tell us that we are not enough. Don't bother. Our boss, our teacher, our friends, they're way ahead of us intellectually, socially, financially. Or perhaps our time is too valuable. I need to take care of me and my family. All of these thoughts keep us from sharing what people need. You know, we're not under the world's operating system. We do not play the game of life by their rules. God's ways use the weak, the simple things in the world to confound the mighty. The tear of a baby moved the heart of Pharaoh's daughter. It was a shepherd's stick that worked mighty miracles in Egypt. A humble leader delivered God's people out of slavery. A simple sling and a stone in the hands of an unknown shepherd boy killed a giant. A young servant girl brought the great leader Naaman to his knees. Gideon, he was the youngest child in the least important family, and yet he was victorious over Israel's enemies. A widow with just a little bit of meal sustained a great prophet. And then there was a teenage girl that carried the Son of God. And a little boy's meager lunch that worked a miracle of provision for over 5,000 people. I love our memory verse today. God will bless those who fear the Lord, both great and small. You know what? David was a nobody when he met Goliath. But he was a nobody who feared the Lord and couldn't help but respond to the challenge before him. And God blessed him with victory. God's blessing is on your willingness and your offering. It was his lunch that fed the 5,000 plus. We don't even know this little boy's name. All we know that he was willing to give what he had and be part of a great miracle. And when he did, he showed the world who Jesus was. Verse 14 says that when the people saw this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "He is the prophet. He's the one we've been expecting." Verse 15 says they were ready to make him king. When they saw what he could do, they realized who he was. Thank God that little boy didn't forget his lunch that day. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are, if you're big or small, if you're a grown-up, even if you're a little over being a grown-up on the other end, if you're a teacher, CEO, student, Are you willing to share what you have? Matthew 14, 18, Jesus said to the disciples, bring them here, bring me the lunch. And then he blessed it. When God blesses something, big or small, it grows. It's successful. So let's partner with God. Let's cooperate with him. I want to see what he's going to do. Now you might think, oh, my offering, it's small. It's just a few moments of my time. It may even be a little inconvenient. You're on your way home from work, racing to pick up your son or daughter from soccer. Or you may feel inadequate for the task and the situation that God is putting you in. This is not your element. But if you are willing to give what you have, your time, your talent, a listening ear, a prayer, putting it in the hands of the Master, he will bless it. And your offering, it will feed many. What we have right here in this room is more than enough to reach Greenwich and to feed Stamford and Darien and White Plains and Westchester County. On Father's Day, Pastor Willie Alfonso said to this congregation that there is enough talent in this room to reach our community. You know what? I agree with him. I believe the Lord was speaking to us that day. Harvest time. God wants to use our lunch. Are you willing to share with him and let him have it? If you were willing, I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. And Pastor Glenn, would you come and we're going to offer it to the Lord, and I'm going to ask you to bless what we're giving to him.
Amen. All right, so next week I'll have the microphone back and I'll get to tell my story next week. So didn't Denise do a wonderful job sharing with us this morning? Just before we go on with our Sunday, we just want to worship the Lord one more time, and we want to pray together in response to the word that we've received, specifically what the Lord has deposited to us, what he's given to us, we want to offer back to him for the sake of blessing others. I know we have many guests this morning, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if you're willing, I would love for you to join us for just a moment here at the altar while we worship the Lord one more time, and then we're going to pray before we go on. If you're willing to come and join us, would you step out of your seats and just come? During worship, we were singing the chorus, "You're a good, good Father," and we're going to worship the Lord one more time singing that, and then we're just going to spend a moment praying and offering the Lord our lunch, offering the Lord what he's given to us. Come on, lift up your voice and sing, "You're a good, good Father."
You're a good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who
moment to give the Lord a praise. Listen, if you have received Jesus, then you have received the most precious thing in all the world. You've received a deposit of his presence inside of you. You've received a deposit of gifts from the Holy Spirit. You have something in your lunchbox to share to bless the whole world. And the simple question is this morning, are you willing to share what God has deposited in you, what he's given to you? Are you willing to share it back to be a blessing to others? God wants Harvest Time to be a family that blesses all the families in Greenwich and all the families in Westchester County and all the families in Fairfield County. And if you simply say, Lord, I'm willing to share my lunch. I'm willing to share what you've deposited to me to be a blessing to others. Would you just lift up your hand to the Lord this morning? And we're just going to pray together for just one moment. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Father, thank you that you have made us a family in Christ. Thank you that Jesus said we are his brothers, his sister, his mother, his family. That, Lord, we are a family, Lord, put together to be a blessing to all the other families of the earth, to be a blessing to the families of Greenwich and of White Plains and of Port Chester and of Harrison and Purchase and Rye and of Stamford and of Norwalk and Noroton and Darien and Lord, all around this region. So Father, we offer you our lunch, Lord. We offer you the things that you've deposited, the gifts that you've deposited, Lord, the talents, the abilities, Lord, the personality, the life experiences that we've been through, even the difficult life experiences, Lord, they're all something in our lunch bag. And Lord, as we lift it up and as we offer it back to you, Lord, we thank you for blessing it and multiplying it and using it to be a blessing to others. Lord, we pray for all of our students as they head back to school. Lord, Father, we pray for the littlest ones going to preschool. We pray for the kindergartners. We pray for the elementary school kids. We pray for the middle schoolers. We pray for the high schoolers. We pray for the college students, Lord. We pray for graduate students and postgraduate students in our congregation. Father, we pray that you would bless them. Lord, we pray that even as you gave Daniel and the Hebrew children, as you gave them an enhanced ability to learn, Lord, so we pray that you'd give every one of our students at Harvest Time an enhanced ability to learn, Lord. Father, we pray that you'd give them the gift of learning. Father, we pray that you'd make them intelligent. Your word says that you make even the simple wise. And Lord, we pray that our students would be the cream of the crop. We pray that they would excel, that everything they put their hands to, Lord, their academics, Lord, Father, learning instruments, playing sports, Lord, extracurricular activities, Lord, everything they do, let everything they put their hand to, Lord, prosper and be blessed and bring you glory. Lord, we pray for all of our teachers, Lord. Thank you for so many teachers in our congregation, and we pray your rich blessing on our teachers, Lord, as they return to the classroom for another year. Father, we pray, Lord, teachers have a unique place and position to make a lasting deposit in the lives of students that are remembered all through life. And I pray, Lord, that our teachers would just be blessed in every way, Lord. So, Father, we thank you. Bless all of our kids' ministries getting ready to start Wednesday evening, boys' club, girls' club, youth group. Father, all of the ministries, Sunday school, children's church, kinder church, adult Sunday school starting next week. Lord, we just pray that all of it would bear fruit and bring you glory. We give you thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Just before we dismiss, I'd like to ask you to just wait while we make one special announcement. I want to ask our friends Kurt and Vivi if they would come and join us. Earlier this year, we were very sad when our friends Pastor Tyler and Megan came to us and told us that they were going back to California. Pastor Tyler was offered a ministry position at his home church where he grew up, and we were excited for Tyler and Megan, but we were sorry for us, and we were sorry for our youth group. Kurt and Vivi graciously accepted the challenge to lead our kids through the summer months, and they have done an amazing job with our youth group. Over the summer months, our board searched high and low and far and wide, looking for a candidate to serve as our next youth pastors, and we didn't find anybody in all of our searching. And finally, the board and I clued in, and we realized that the reason we didn't find anybody was because God's man and woman were right here in our house already. And so we have invited Kurt and Vivi to come and serve as our next youth pastors at Harvest Time, and they have accepted the invitation. Just to let you know, Kurt has a law degree from South Africa and moved here to the New York area. For the last several years, he's been the executive director of a nonprofit organization. Vivi has a master's degree in family and marriage counseling from NIAC Theological Seminary, and she's working for a counseling center in Westchester right now and working on getting her license as a counselor. And they bring a tremendous amount to our table. Kurt is going to be wrapping up. It's going to take him 2 or 3 weeks to wrap up at his current position. But on our dedication weekend, 2 weeks from today, we're going to install Kurt and Vivi officially as our youth pastors. I'm not going to give Kurt the microphone because Denise just talked about lunch, and I want lunch. I don't know about, and I'm not sharing my lunch either. I'm going to eat everything on my plate. I'm going to eat it. It's mine. But we want to get going to lunch, but we're going to be installing them 2 weeks from today. Brian Kelly, if you would come representing our Board of Deacons and Trustees, would you just pray a blessing over all of us and over Kurt and Vivi, and we'll finish our service. Thank you so much, Uncle Brian.
Father, we're grateful, God, that you have given each of us talents and abilities and giftings, God, and we pray that you would multiply them today. We thank you for your word over us today. We believe it, God, and we will do what you ask, Father. We thank you that you will start with the small and make it great. Father, we thank you for Kurt and Vivi today and for their answer to the call, for the answer to the call so long ago in their lives. We just look forward to the ministry that they will bring to our kids. We pray a special blessing on them now and as they get closer to the great day of their wedding, we just ask that you make everything work out together for their good. Father, we thank you today again, God, for your word, and we're grateful that you have bestowed on us all, you know, your good and perfect gifts from above. Bless us, please, as we go, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brian. I forgot to mention Kurt and Vivi are getting married in 3 weeks, so we bless them. Out in the main lobby, there's a little photo booth set up, and we have a couple of photographers. who are waiting for you. And if you'd like to maybe get a back-to-school family photo, you can stop at the photo booth. They'll snap your photo for you. Or maybe you'd like to gather some friends, some family in Christ, and take a fun photo. You're welcome to do that. God be with you. Wednesday night, Pastor Nick will be teaching here in the sanctuary. All of our Wednesday programs will resume. Have a blessed week. The Lord be with you.